Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so swing on over there and read that if you get the opportunity. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, there's a lot of, I don't know, I almost want to call it strange stuff going on, but like always, we will jump in quickly here and give you our FanDuel lineups. I guess, Dan, you could say I had a better day. I scored 127 points, which is better than what I've been doing. Do you remember what you scored there last night?
Um, 121.
Oh, so, yeah, and, you know, Dan and I only killed one player last night. Buster Posey actually did all right, especially for the price tag he had on him, but I believe he got injured in the game because now he's listed as day-to-day. So while he produced, we did manage to injure him. Kevin Kiermaier only racked up 3 points, so Dan and I buried him. Let's see how we do today, Dan. You know, I decided I'm just staying at the top of the board for pitching. I paid the $10,100 for Carlos Carrasco taking on the White Sox tonight. You know, I figured, what the heck, you know, at this point in time, I'm not winning squat. I might as well go this way. Of course, when you spend that kind of money, you go into money saving mode right away. So for $2,000, I have a Hector Sanchez as my catcher. Luckily he's hitting fifth in the Padre lineup, so at least he's in a run producing spot. So that's, I'm hoping that kind of works out for me. First base, I'm going with Yuri Gurriel of the Astros. Now, their lineup hasn't been announced yet, but he's been pretty hot. I assume he's going to play. He cost me $3,600. Second base, back on the Indians, I had Jose Ramirez for $3,700. He's hitting third for them tonight. Third base, I went with Justin Turner of the Dodgers for $3,700. Now, this is another lineup that hasn't been announced. But again, it's Justin Turner, and he's basically leading the National League in hitting or close to it. So I'm under the impression he's going to play. Shortstop, I went with Elvis Andrews of the Texas Rangers. He cost me $3,800. He's hitting second tonight for them. And then oddly, my outfielders all ended up being from the same game. I started with Mookie Betts of the Red Sox. He's hitting cleanup for them for $4,100. And then I ended up with Blue Jays, back-to-back Blue Jays. For $2,000, I got Ezekiel Carrera, who's leading off for Toronto tonight. And then right behind him, I got, I believe it's Teoscar Hernandez, also for $2,000, and he's hitting second for them tonight. So while I'm trying to save money, I'm trying to get guys who are at the top of the order. I assume since they went 19 innings last night, there might be some offense tonight, and it might be a good game to get in on. But there you go, the quick recap. Carlos Carrasco's pitching, Hector Sanchez catching, Yuri Gurriel at first, Jose Ramirez at second, Justin Turner at third, Elvis Andrews at short, and the outfield is Mookie Betts, Ezekiel Carrera, and Teoscar Hernandez, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So there you go. What did you end up with there, Dan?
Well, my Carrasco lineup has him, Sandy Leone, Mitch Moreland, Ian Happ, but Diaz, I don't know which Diaz. here we go. Oh, from Cleveland, Y Diaz, Trevor Story, Gerardo Parra, Nomar Mazara, and Jay Bruce. But then my Stanton lineup. Starts with Selman pitching for the Mets. It's taking too long. Suzuki catching. Hosmer at first. Sanchez from the Sox. Second, Jake Lamb, Jose Reyes, AJ Pollock, Taylor, and then Stanton. I did put together a Cueto, a Fister, and a Tyjon Walker lineup. And my last one's going to be the Houston pitcher. I got to finish that one.
I don't even know who's pitching for Houston tonight. Is it
McCullers?
What's his name? Lance McCullers. Yeah, McCullers. Okay. So I was wondering if that was who was going there. Now, did you go through? Did you change all six of the lineups they gave you, or how did you end up doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually on the last one, so it took a lot longer.
Oh, okay.
Than what I thought.
Yeah, it's difficult to go through and get six lineups set. I have a tough time just getting, one or two ready on some days, let alone having to try to shake out a 6 day lineup. But those are how the entries go. So I guess if you got a lineup that does well, you can pick something up, right? It could work out really well. So we will have to see how it does.
But it'll be like lottery when you do the $5 quick pick and you've got all the numbers, but they're all in the wrong.
They're all over on the different cards instead of all on the same one where you need them. Isn't that how that's how it always goes, right? But we will see. Of course, these are for they're all free rolls. Lots of free rolls sent out. You got about looks like it's just about 27 and a half minutes to get your lineup set. So good luck. I did mention there's a lot of rain in the forecast throughout. So you may want to double check. I know the Yankees and the Orioles have already been postponed. So kind of make sure you're in a in good shape there, because especially with me, it's bad enough I jinx guys as it is and I give them zeros. I don't need any help from the weather. So we'll have to see how it goes. But I was interested, Dan, we didn't quite get to this yesterday, but just before we came on air, the NFL announced that their arbitrator, who I've drawn a blank on his first name, but his last name is Henderson, upheld the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott. So while he is suspended for 6 games, he's playing week one against the Giants. Dan, it confused the hell out of me. You have to explain it to me.
That's just the way the ball bounces, the cookie crumbles.
it was weird because they were talking about, with the timing of the announcement being, when it came out, we decided to allow him to play in week one. Dan, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that, the Cowboys and the Giants just happened to be the marquee Sunday night game on NBC for week one? That wouldn't have anything to do with the NFL making a decision like this, would it?
No, I mean, I would think that you can't do the suspension right away. You have to wait 6 days, 7 days.
Yeah, I know he does have a, the NFL Players Union filed a suit or an injunction to try to get the suspension halted. Kind of like Tom Brady did. Remember, Brady's team was successful for about a year before they lost out and he had to serve his 4-game suspension. Of course, you have to remember Brady's was for tampering. Elliott's is for domestic violence. So they are two very separate issues here. You just gotta kind of remember that while the cases are comparable, they are for two very, very different things when you, kind of start comparing these guys. So, it was quite amusing. And, you know, Dan, if I'm the Giants, I got to tell you, I think I'm a little upset by this decision. You know, obviously it's an interdivision game because, as you like to point out, the Dallas Cowboys are on the East Coast, so they're in the NFC East. And, so he misses, the game. Okay, so he plays against the Giants. Then he sits out for 6 weeks, so he misses Denver, Arizona, the Rams, Green Bay, San Francisco, and the last one is a divisional game against Washington. So Washington only has to face him once. I don't know. It just seemed like odd timing, like, hey, here, play week one, but then sit out 6 weeks. So I just didn't get it.
Well, it's not fair to playmakers, like the coach. They need a whole week.
That's actually how they proposed it, was they mentioned game planning and, it's little things like that. So I don't know if I buy that. I'm sure there's another reason, other than that, but we'll have to see. I'm not quite sure how it all went down or how they make their decisions, but I don't think anybody knows. How the NFL makes their decisions, right?
I do like your theory, though. It coincides with the marquee Sunday night matchup to open the season.
Just so happens, right? It's just, I'm sure it's all coincidental. I don't know, since we're in the NFL, I don't know if you saw this story, or I don't know if the video has been released yet. Have you heard anything about this Michael Bennett, Las Vegas situation, the Seattle defensive lineman? Yeah, now apparently I'm guessing he was at the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight, because this happened afterwards, as the article describes it, in the early morning hours of August 27th. Bennett went on his Twitter account today and mentioned that he felt terrified and helpless after police pointed guns at him and ordered him to lie down on the ground. Now, it doesn't appear he explains the entire situation. He does go on to explain that, one officer warned him that he would blow his effing head off. And, another one put his knee in his lower back and actually handcuffed Bennett. They apparently were looking, from what I've heard, and I don't know, this hasn't been corroborated yet. Apparently they were looking for a suspect who Bennett may have resembled. He said the officers used reckless force, and he apparently is planning to file a lawsuit. One of his other quotes here said, "I felt helpless as I lay there on the ground handcuffed, facing the real life threat of being killed. All I could think of was, I'm going to die for no reason other than I am black and my skin color is somehow a threat." Sadly, in a sense, he's right there, because, being black in America is almost a crime in some cases, which is just ridiculous. But, if the officers can prove or had any kind of reasonable doubt, Dan, that he was a suspect or looked like a suspect, did they handle it correctly?
No, I think they handle it how they always handle it. Brute force.
So, yeah, and trust me, as someone who's been arrested a time or two, they don't just do that to black guys. I've been roughed up by a couple of officers trying to prove their dominance, since they were much smaller than I was. Even though at the time we hadn't done anything wrong, I was just with a group of guys who were watching two Yahoos fight in a bar a couple times. And they decided somehow, since I was the biggest guy there, I was involved. And I got handcuffed and thrown in the police car until the situation was mediated. So I understand that it's a much bigger issue for the African-American community. But like I said, trust me, this does happen to to a white man like me as well. So.
No, it wouldn't, but.
you know, unlike Dan, who's never been in the back of a police car, so. But yeah, I'm not, now, you know.
Every right to say what he said.
Yeah, well, you know, and I also found it odd, Dan, that he's now one of the guys who basically have supported Colin Kaepernick and started kneeling during the national anthem. So it just ended up being kind of coincidental that, you know, he got busted for this. Now, remember, and Dan, I don't know if your parents ever told you this, or maybe your mother ever did, but. You know, there's that old saying that, you know, nothing good happens after, depending on who's telling you, it's midnight or 2 a.m. or however late you're staying out. And obviously Mr. Bennett was out past those hours. So, you know, again, it's, you know, one of those things you have to, I get it, it's Vegas, but you got to kind of realize your situation. And, you know, I don't want to be caught anywhere at that time in the morning. Do you?
No, not at all.
So, you know, the only thing I'm doing at that time of the morning is going to work. So, but yeah, apparently he's meeting with his lawyers to contemplate filing a lawsuit against the Las Vegas Police Department. So it's definitely an ongoing story. So we'll have to see how it goes. I don't know. Obviously, you know, this is something the media jumped on right away because. You know, especially the NFL media, because again, I mentioned he's kneeling during the national anthem. Of course, obviously he's an African-American player, and then this happened. So they want to rope that all together. I don't think the fact that him kneeling had anything to do with the situation, but if you can somehow tie it in, it makes for a good story. So good luck with that.
Well, it's highly coincidental.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seemed to happen that it happened to him. You know, one of those odd things. But, you know, Dan, I mentioned yesterday that, you know, you and I had a bit of a bidding war in the auction league because we were both waiting for Jameis Winston to come up. And you ended up winning. And after all that, now you can't play him week one.
What?
Yes, the NFL has postponed the Tampa Bay Miami game for obvious reasons. You know, the hurricane is going that way. So you can't use Jameis Winston. Mr. Fantasy, of course, can't use Jay Cutler. The game has been rescheduled for week 11 because both teams just happen to have the same bye week. So, you know, the teams are going to have to play 16 straight weeks, Dan. You know, I didn't at first think this was such a huge deal. But then I realized, and I've got to find out what week it is here, but the Dolphins are one of the teams scheduled to play in London this year. Now, you know, normally when you go to London, you get to come back and you get a week off to recuperate. I'm guessing it's going to be week 10. Let me see if I can find it. Geez, do they even list it? Let's see.
Well, didn't you write about that in the blog today?
Just a tad bit, but this was before I found out the Dolphins had to go play in London. So, you know, shouldn't they have at least found a way to give Miami a week off with making that trip?
I mean, how can you? You know, with it being so close, it's not like they're going to, you know, switch stadiums.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, I know, you know, there were other options. You know, they would have obviously had to move it out of the state of Florida. But, you know, even if they would have just, you know, played it as the last week of the season to give the Dolphins a break, I mean, in the end, I don't think it matters because both these teams are borderline playoff teams. You know, I just thought it kind of stunk that the Dolphins are going to have to go to London and then come back and get ready to play, you know, because that's always a bit of a rough trip. But yeah, I guess there weren't a ton of options after you postponed it, were there?
No, that's why they need to just finally do away with the last, you know, the weeks 3 and 4 of the preseason, make it a 18-week season with one extra game and 2 bye weeks.
Now, see, we wouldn't have had these problems, right? They could have fixed it all right there.
So, you know, and then you wouldn't,
but you know, the NFL players, the NFLPA doesn't want, they don't want 18 games. So,
well, I mean, technically they wouldn't, it would be 18 weeks or whatever. It would only be one extra game.
Yeah, you know, but that, I know, but that's what the Players Association doesn't want.
Well, you know, how do they expect to get more money for their players if they're not going to play that
one
extra game?
Yeah, I, you know, I'm not quite sure what their plan is. I think they're just expecting everybody just to give them the money, because
I mean,
that's
LeBron James.
Kind of how.
Well, yeah. LeBron James, I mean, he makes, 20-plus million a year, but he also plays about 70 games. And he's actually, if you think about it, he's getting shorted because he doesn't get GM money.
Yeah. Yeah, he is doing two jobs for only one paycheck. So, you know, you have to, you definitely have to, you know, you have to look out for that. So, you know, just one of the extra mile that the king goes for for everybody. So, you know, he does two jobs and just takes one paycheck.
I mean, you know, that's no mockery of him. That's just a, I don't even know what you would call it. The truth without them telling us the truth.
Yeah, and you know, they had a, I've been trying to follow this as we go along here. And I don't know, this was something I just kind of picked up on. I think it came out earlier, but Ray Lewis was mentioning that apparently what ended up costing Colin Kaepernick a job with the Baltimore Ravens was his girlfriend. Now, in case people don't know, he dates a girl by the name of Nessa Nitti. I believe she was a radio personality in New York. I've seen her on MTV. She used to do the Girl Code show. She was a frequent contributor there. Apparently, she tweeted something out that Ray Lewis brought up. But, yeah, he, as Lewis puts it, he says, then this girl goes out and put out this racist gesture and doesn't know we are in the back office about to try to get this guy signed. It says the racist gesture Lewis is referring to is apparently a tweet which uses a still from the movie Django Unchained to paint Ravens owner Steve Biscotti and Ray Lewis as master and slave.
Oh, I was actually looking for the tweet. I couldn't find it at the time when I read that. I mean, it. Wow.
Yeah, they have the picture she used to compare it. I of course will tweet the article out here on sportstimeradio.com, like Dan and I like to do with these things. So yeah, you know, what it boils down to, you know, I know when, you know, they had talked to Kaepernick, there was a lot of conversation about the, you know, the fact that Annapolis was right there and his protest with the American flag. But yeah, looking at it now, apparently it was more his girlfriend that cost him a job than anything.
Well, that, and I don't know if we read the same article, but they reached out to the fan base, and you've got to wonder, you know, maybe they would have been more accepting, but once that tweet came out, if that just put it over the edge for not only them, but even, you know, even the fan base.
Yeah. Well, you know, 'cause you got to figure, you know, regardless of some of the things Ray Lewis was accused of doing, and to be fair, he was never proven guilty on anything. So say what you want. Technically, he's an innocent man, no matter how you want to look at it. You know, that's how the court system in America works. When you go after him, you know, he's an iconic player in Baltimore Ravens history, and probably the, you know, if not the greatest, he's right there as one of the greatest Raven players of all time. You know, man, once you go after him like that, yeah, you know, they probably could care less about the owner because he's just the owner. But man, when you go after a former great player like that, it's over, isn't it? I mean, there's no coming back from that.
No, there pretty much isn't. And, you know, the guys, you know, Spike Lee and all the people that were protesting, I'm sure not a single one of them were season ticket holders. And so, and neither am I, you know, obviously not to the Ravens, definitely not for the Bears. You know, it's high priced tickets to begin with, but, you know, one thing that I think a lot of people that don't have the season tickets don't understand or don't even know about is the phone calls. And they have huge conference calls with their season ticket holders. You know, you could be, you know, Joe Schmo laying bricks during the week all year round. But if you have those season tickets, when they do their conference calls, they reach out to all the fans, and those season ticket holders are allowed in on these conference calls and are allowed to voice their opinion. And I mean, if you know, when it comes to the NFL, you really have to win over the fan base. You know, because obviously it's the tickets that get sold, where I think, you know, when it comes to baseball and the NBA and hockey, even, you still have a lot of corporate sponsors. Corporate people buying the boxes and buying, you know, tons of tickets to hand out. So, you know, when it comes to the NFL, if you're upset the fans, they're a major investor in the sport.
Yeah, you know, yeah, obviously, you know, that's where, you know, that's where your money comes from. So, you know, I mean, if, you know, if you're going to tick them off, you know, great. You know, and I mean, eventually, you know, they come back. You know, I mean, teams have upset, you know, fans before, and they've managed to find their way back. But, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, be careful how you do it. And I mean, it's one thing for a player to do it, because, you know, obviously he can go out on the field and so-called make amends. You know, he can go out and have a great game, and they go on a hot streak and they win a few games. And, you know, that's kind of how fans forgive you. But, you know, when it's somebody you're just dating, you know, like she can't go out on the field and play a game. So, you know, it just kind of, you know, kind of didn't work. It didn't work, I guess. You know, there's really no other way to kind of look at it. And, you know, to be honest, would they have signed Kaepernick? Who really knows? You know, that could just be something they're saying. So, you know, but it you know, the mistake they made, of course, was they gave them an out.
Well, I mean, you can't fight racism with racism, can you?
No, well, I mean, I think people have tried, but it's, you know, genuinely not successful. And, you know, I mean, even the comparison, you know, that's, you know, you want to call Biscotti, or, yeah, I think that's how you pronounce his name. It might be Biscotti, but, you know, you're calling him a slave owner, but yet he paid Ray Lewis millions upon millions of dollars. So, You know, I mean, I don't know any, you know, I don't know any slaves, obviously. I wasn't around at that time. You know, even though Dan will tell you I'm old, but I don't believe they got paid at all, let alone millions upon millions of dollars. So, it's a difficult comparison to make. And it's actually just kind of sad that it's boiled down to this, you know, that this is how things have kind of ended up playing out. So, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe he can go to Canada.
I think he is one of those guys who refuses.
Yeah, I believe he did too, but, you know, that's just one of those things. But, all right, enough of that stuff, Dan. It's, I don't know. You got something else to add before I want to go away here? I don't want to talk about bad stuff anymore. It makes me sad.
Well, yeah, you know, the other thing with him too is, if you're not sure 100%, you know, behind him being your starting quarterback, and you want him to try out for the job, going up against, you know, let's just even say it with Miami, you know, if he doesn't get the job based off of, you know, the other guy's better, then, you know, if you're the team that tries him, what does he do next? Because as much as I get his point and what he's doing, it really, really coincided with him not playing. So you're a team in need of a quarterback. But if it doesn't really work out the way you want it to, and you're going to go with the other guy over him, what is he going to do next? You go. I wonder if they – and that's the back of mind of some of the owners too.
Yeah, I guess you have to ask yourself, was it just timing – for his, you know, his little protest, or, you know, was it the fact that he had just lost his starting job? So, you know, you have to, you know, you always got to kind of wonder. Oh, but all right, Dan, obviously, since it's Wednesday, we did have some day baseball. So we got some finals here. Let me rack them up and we can take a look here. The Reds beat the Brewers again 7-1 today. Luis Castillo picked up the win. Matt Garza, your guy Matt Garza, took the loss. The Twins beat the Rays 10-6. And I'm drawing a blank on who this player is. I have to check real quick here. For the Twins that got the win. Come on. I did warn Dan before the show that it's raining here and that could cost me my internet connection. I know Rogers is the pitcher's last name. I thought it might have been the pitcher they received in the trade for the Angels last year. But I'm drawing a blank on his first name, and I wanted to say Brendan, but I don't really think that's right. So I'm searching frantically here to get a proper name for you all. Maybe it's, well, maybe I was right. Come on, where is it? I can't spell. Oh, I was way off. It's Taylor Rogers was the pitcher who got the win for the Twins. Steve Cishek took the loss in relief. The Rangers beat the Braves 12-8. I believe that was game one of a doubleheader, as I'm pretty sure they're playing later, because I saw Cole Hamels on the FanDuel list. Austin Bibbins Dirks got the win for the Rangers today. And oh God, why do I keep getting these funky names, Dan? Why do they do that to me intentionally? I feel like Mr. Fantasy. All right, let's see if we can hunt this one down here now. It's just what I do. So maybe you can pronounce it, Dan. We go with G-O-H-A-R. Would it be Gohara, like the Cubs is Uehara?
Yeah, why not?
So, yeah, he suffered the loss for the Braves today. If you give me a second, I'll hunt up his first name. It's Luis. So we're going with Gohara, and hopefully that is correct. And then what else do we have? The Angels beat the A's 3-1. Sean Manna got the win. Chris Hatcher picked up the save. And Tyler Skaggs, I believe, returning from injury, got the loss. And then, of course, the only other game would be the Yankees and the Orioles, who aren't playing because it's already been rained out. So there you go. You're all caught up on your finals with a little help from my internet. So there you go. Now, you know, Dan, we were on baseball. We were on conspiracies a little bit with football and Ezekiel Elliott. I want to throw this one at you because this one's right up your alley. And it just so happens to involve the Cubs. Now, you know, in Jake Arrieta's last start, he left the game with a hamstring issue, so to speak, or so they were calling it. You know, a lot of people thought it was just a dehydration thing, kind of like Jason Hammel went through, where he was prescribed to eat potato chips with sea salt. Arrieta came out and mentioned that after the game, he didn't even expect to miss a start, said he was actually feeling fine. Well, now it's come out today, Dan, that he's going to miss at least one start, but it looks more like two. So right away, the first thing that popped into my mind, and then it came up on the radio, was Arrieta's represented by who, Dan?
Scott Boras.
Who actually threatened the Washington Nationals when they wanted to bring Steven Strasburg back from an injury, and Boras didn't think he was ready. And what I mean by threatened is he actually told the Nationals that if they made this move, he would take Strasburg elsewhere when he was a free agent. And not only would he do that, but he would also influence his other clients to not sign with Washington. So Washington bowed down to the pressure, kept Strasburg on the DL. I don't even know if he pitched again that year. He's had so many injuries. Dan, do you think this is Boras trying to wiggle some extra rest out for Arrieta because he's looking at a big payday at the end of the year?
I mean, he hasn't really been boisterous with Arrieta since, was it out in California over the summer or something? Or, you know,
yeah.
Right by the All-Star break. You know, I was actually thinking it was the other way around, and Arrieta felt like he'd come back, but that the Cubs are on the Dodgers and taking advantage of that 10-day DL.
Did he go on the DL? Did they put him on the DL?
I haven't looked yet.
Oh.
I mean, it could be, but, you know, unlike Washington at the time, I believe there was at least six guys, not including Strasburg, that were Scott Boras guys on that roster.
Yeah, there were a ton at the time. So,
and I mean, the way it looks, I don't see the Cubs re-signing him. But then again, we never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, you're looking, you know, ahead here, but, you know, he's going to be one of, if not the top pitcher on the free agent market. You know, you're looking at him, and then the other guy with huge name value is going to be Yu Darvish. So, you know, other than that, you know, there's not a ton of guys. I mean, there's some, you know, some quality guys, depending on, of course, how you feel about them or what you think. I mean, Tanaka can opt out. You know, I love the fact that they always list like Chris Sale as a possible free agent. Like the Red Sox aren't going to pick up an option that's only $12.5 million. I mean, what would Sale get on the open market, Dan? $30 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, like the same thing with Madison Bumgarner. The Giants hold a $12 million option. Why would they buy him out for $1.8 million when he's, or $1.5 million when he's 28 years old? You know, I mean, that's a steal for a guy like that. So I get it. You have to list these things, but occasionally you have to have kind of common sense with, you know, what you're doing. So yeah, you know, just kind of looking at the list here, it's Arrieta, Darvish, and that's really it for starting pitching. So, you know, he's in line to make, you know, my guess is probably $25 to $28 million. Now, you know, he hasn't had the best year, but, you know, obviously he's still Jake Arrieta. He's only a couple years away from, you know, being a monster Cy Young Award winner. So, you know, he's going to get paid.
It's hard to say because the Cubs did make the big move with John Lester, which should be wrapping up pretty soon. They do have Quintana for, what, two more years after this season?
Yeah.
But then after that, you know, are there any other Brett Andersons out there that they can sign? Or?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll find somebody. You know, I mean, I just thought it was interesting when all of a sudden he went from him saying he wasn't going to miss a start to now there's a chance he's going to miss two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of, you know, you kind of wonder what goes into it or how it kind of plays out. And it was just kind of like, well, wait a minute. Is it, do we have a possible intervention here from, because obviously, you know, Boris would want him 100% healthy. You know, as would the Cubs, to be fair, though. The Cubs would want him that way, too, just to make sure, you know, because more and more it's looking like they're going into the playoffs as the Brewers just can't seem to get anything going. So, yeah, you know, I just wonder if it's, another instance of maybe we're finagling the 10-day DL here or, you know, if it's Boris saying, hey, look, I don't want you doing this.
Well, I mean, I think it could definitely be a combo of both. But when you said that, you know, he's not going to miss a start, so the next thing we know, he's missing two. I mean, that's, you know, roughly 10 days. So that puts him towards, you know, giving him a couple of starts to finish off the season, taking us right into October. I mean, if
yeah, you know, there's no notice.
10-day and, you know, make
yeah, there's no,
or something.
Yeah, there's no notice right now of him being on the 10-day disabled list. Of course, they could always retroact that and, you know, say, hey, okay, we're putting him on the 10-day back to, you know, the day after his last start or whatever. That was just a few days ago. So, you know, just one of those, one of the ways baseball does things. So... But I did see Dan. I don't believe you have him this year. I remember you had him a season or two ago. But it's reported that Billy Hamilton sustained a fractured left thumb in today's game. And it looks like, you know, he's going on the 10-day disabled list. And pretty much this will probably end his season. It worked out to be one of his better offensive seasons. Still not great at the plate, but he was hitting .249. That's kind of where he falls into. He actually had tied his career high with 58 stolen bases. So, he was having a pretty good year for, obviously a bad team. But yeah, I don't know. Did you have him, or are you on a Billy Hamilton this year? Or
no, I really wasn't going after stolen bases. You know, for fantasy guys, it sucks. But like you said, he was kind of so. But as far as the game goes, and you know, the professional as the league goes, I mean, you might as well just take him off the 10-day and put him on the. Well, I guess the 10-day can last up to 3 months, as I've learned, with Felix Hernandez,
yes.
And Yuno Escobar, and Michael Brantley, who's pretty much been on the 10-day all season. But, you know, with like you said, he's having a better season. You might as well shut him down for the year, send him home. You know, maybe he comes hang out in the clubhouse during the home games. I don't know if he's, you know, residing in Ohio or whatever. Give him that rest, let him get that thumb back together and, you know, get ready for next year. I'll give him that time off to heal the thumb and get ready for February.
Yeah, because I believe Josh Harrison of the Pirates just broke a thumb or fractured a thumb, or maybe it was a hand. And I know they were saying, they weren't even questioning it. They just said he's done for the year. We're not even going to attempt to bring him back. It's actually he fractured his hand. So they just completely shut him down and, said that's it. Tough break for any team. But Harrison had actually posted a career-high 16 home runs this season. Of course, I'm still buying the fact that the ball is juiced with all these home runs. You couldn't convince me of any different. But even so, he did still hit it. He was hitting .272. So he was a little below his career average of .281, but big time utility guy. He's played second, third, left, and right for the Pirates this year. Throughout his career, he's also played some shortstop and I think just about almost any other position. I think he even pitched here in one of the games back in his career. But it makes sense to just shut him down and not worry about it. Like you said, let's just look to February. The Pirates aren't going anywhere. The Reds aren't going anywhere. It's better to be safe with these guys, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You brought up the Pirates and Harrison and his multiple positions, one of those being second base. Do you think, we haven't heard much about it since, obviously, preseason. Jung-Ho Kang, or I know I'm saying his last name wrong, will be able to come back to the States next year?
Yeah, it's weird how that just
disappeared,
didn't it? That was a big, big story coming into, this season. And they do here have now, there was an article about 10 days ago where apparently the gang, I don't know why it's pronounced gang when it's spelled Kang, but gang... and the Pirates are trying to get a visa for him that would allow him to play winter ball in the Dominican Republic. So you got to figure if he could get that, then he would probably be back next season. But I guess what I'm wondering, and I'm gonna use Baseball Reference here, Dan, to see if I can look it up. Has he played this year, or is he just in Korea serving his time? I mean, did he end up in prison? I mean, the story just kind of disappeared.
I don't think there was any jail time with it. I just don't remember who, if it was on our end or their end, which is why he couldn't leave the country. So, and then being under contract with the Pirates, I highly doubt he was allowed to play any Korean ball.
Yeah, they don't have any stats. Yeah, they don't have any stats listed for him. So, we'll have to, I guess have to see. He is only signed through next year. The Pirates do have an option for 2019. I would guess he would be allowed to come back next season. It's just kind of an odd situation. Why, like you brought up, I mean, literally it was a big story. And then, by, I think a month or two into the season, that was it. People had stopped talking about him, hadn't they? So, we'll have to see if he can make a – I mean, how do you think he'll be with an entire year off, Dan? I mean, he was pretty solid. But I lost Dan. Let me bring him back in here. Like I was saying, Dan, how do you think he'll be with an entire year off? He was playing pretty well, but it's a year off of not seeing major league pitching.
Yeah, I guess I didn't look at it that way. I mean, he definitely got the has the rest. You know, you hope that it didn't affect him negatively. As things go and people are able to function a certain way, sometimes taking that away from them can really throw off their game also. Says Josh Hamilton.
Yeah.
No more Red Bull for him.
So now we talked about it yesterday, Dan. Justin Verlander made his debut for the Houston Astros. He went six innings. He only gave up one run. It ended up being a solo home run. He walked one and struck out seven. He did pick up the win. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, the only way he has a better start is if he actually pitches like a complete game shutout or a no hitter or something. But not a bad first outing there, right? I mean, get the Astros back on the winning track, or I believe continue the winning streak. I think that's six in a row now. So they've got to be pretty happy, at least after one outing, right?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you be? I mean, you've got the playoffs right around the corner. With the way the game is now, you really don't want or expect them to go past the sixth inning.
Yeah, that's what Schomburg Stu was actually joking with me about that earlier, because he was talking to me about Jake Arrieta, wanting to know how a team could pay all that money for a guy who's just going to pitch six innings. But, you know, when you look at it now, they all just pitch six innings unless your name is Scherzer or Kershaw or Kluber, you know, or this year Irvin Santana, who has, you know, multiple complete games. So, you know, yeah, you literally have to be elite to get yourself past the sixth inning. And even in some cases, those guys can't get you past the sixth inning in every game. So it's a little difficult, but yeah, you know, like I said, I thought it was a solid start. I mean, I'm sure he probably wanted to go longer, but you know, why force it? You know, I think they were kind of cruising along. So get him out of there and, you know, just save the innings for the playoffs. Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you have the bullpen to kind of back it up. Or close
you know,
out.
I mean, sadly it was against, yeah, you know, sadly it was against the Mariners, but you know, he had to start against somebody. So we'll see how it goes tonight, because Lance McCullers Jr. is pitching for the Astros and he's normally a huge bust. So I'm hoping that kind of continues that way and the Mariners can make up a little ground.
I'm not, cause I have McCullers in a lineup.
So, you know, but yeah, well, you know, I feel bad for you. He's been one of those guys that is just, anytime I even look at his name on FanDuel, he stinks. So I didn't even consider using him. I hope it works out for you. So, you know, we'll have to see.
One out of 16, bad.
Yeah. But, you know, a tad off topic here, Dan, I know this isn't exactly sports related, but, you know, is there a pumpkin spice everything now? Because I just saw Pop Secret has pumpkin spice popcorn.
Ooh.
And do they sell it at the ballpark?
Well, it's a specialty, right? I don't know. I think, you know, everyone goes a little overboard with all the flavored stuff, but I guess you got to try it. I mean, I did try the pumpkin spice Pop-Tarts once, and those were pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I can say the only thing I have pumpkin-related is pie. You know, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't go down that route. I did see that it was also announced that Dairy Queen brought back the pumpkin blizzard. I don't know if that would be something I would really be interested in, but... yeah, I just thought it was really odd because it seems like every time I turn a corner now, there's pumpkin or something other. You know, and you would figure, you know, maybe they're selling pumpkin spice popcorn at the ballparks now that September and we're getting close to Halloween, right?
Yeah, that should be the World Series flavor. You know, it's kind of
yeah.
Funny this morning there was a a little thing on the radio, something, you know, I never knew. I was, you know, growing up saying about stuff they never knew about until recently or whatever. And I couldn't think of anything until you brought that up, because I never knew that, you know, pumpkin stuff was actually made out of pumpkin. I just figured it was fall and it was orange, so they wanted to call it pumpkin. And then one year my wife made a pumpkin pie, and I was like, what are you doing with that pumpkin? She goes, how do you think they're made? I'm like, I don't know, out of a can?
Yeah, well, you know, and oddly, a lot of canned pumpkin, and I know we're a little off track here, a lot of canned pumpkin isn't actually pumpkin. They use another vegetable in place of it. So.
Well, and then I look at it and I go, well, does that mean carrot cake is really made out of real carrot?
Yes.
It just doesn't make sense. A vegetable made into a pie.
Well, you know, that's how, you know, you get kids to eat it. You know, isn't it? Yeah. That's the new thing. You know, you make it look like other stuff, or you turn it into other stuff. You know, when I was a kid, I would get mine in scrambled eggs on Saturday morning. You know, my dad, being a chef, would chop it up really fine and would put it in the scrambled egg, and I wouldn't even know it was there. So,
your pumpkin, or
you know, that's stuff you got to learn now that, just different stuff. You know, that's stuff you got to learn now that you're a parent.
Yeah, well, actually, my daughter pretty much eats anything.
So, well, you're off to a good start then. So, you know, you'll have to see if it continues that way, and you can, you know, you keep going. But yeah, you've got to, you know, I always kind of, as weird as it is to compare it, it's kind of like when you got to give your dog the medicine and you got to hide it in a piece of lunch meat so the dog will take it.
Yeah.
You know, my father used to hide stuff on me so I would eat it and not know it was there. So.
Oddly, though, I have a dog that will eat anything. So.
Yeah. Well, I had a dog that would eat anything except the medicine it was supposed to take. So, you know, it was kind of like, great. Yeah, geez, you know. That's just how it works
out.
Another treat. But, yeah, I wish it would have been that simple. It's like, damn it, you'll eat anything except this. So, you know, but now how, I know you posted, I know we only got a couple minutes here, but you had a pretty good week in baseball. Did that get you into the playoff picture?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm just waiting on this week. What do you call it? This week with the Snake League, I'm up against a guy or a girl. I can't remember which one. That is kind of beating me, but I looked ahead and I don't think they're going to make their innings because they're one of the dead teams.
Uh-huh.
So I most likely will make the playoffs in both leagues. But in the auction league, oddly, all the moves I made, I started unloading my team to get better pitching because I thought I was kind of out of it sitting in 12th base, but I'm all the way up to 6th.
Wow. All right, well, the music man and I are going to take off. Hey, we'll come back tomorrow to do this again on Thursday. Look at that. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Follow that link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. Dan and I would appreciate it. Don't forget to follow the podcast on Twitter as well, at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I out there on the Twitterverse. We don't mind having fun with you there. As always, a big thanks for listening live. We really appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, you can find this podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
Roll out. Roll out. Roll out. Roll out. Roll out.